thank you, and we give you praise and give you glory. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the finished work. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, one who brings all things to our remembrance. We thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, let's go back to some of these apostolic duties executed by the apostle. We've covered about 15 of them, and we're going to cover another five tonight. Like I say, just remember, somewhere along the line, you'll see these duties again somewhere. Amen. So let's go to number 16. I hope everybody had went in and at least printed them up so they can look at them and go over them. Let you know that we are in an apostolic government. We have an apostle, and his office that he's holding, we call it an apostleship. And so we have not been taught this, so we have been taught it so we can understand what's happening in an apostolic government, how it affects you, how it affects your family, and how it affects your life. Number 16 is, is to execute. Apostles have a unique ability to execute the plans and purposes of God. To execute means to carry out, perform, or do. This anointing is absolutely necessary to fulfill the Great Commission. So if we think about the Great Commission has not been fulfilled yet, it might be because the government has not been established correctly yet. Number 17 says the apostle, one a duty is to defend. Apostles are defenders of the faith. They defend the truth. They defend the church from outside attacks and infiltration by the enemy. If you want to see a scripture on that one, you can look at Philippians 1:17. The next one, apostles oversee. The apostolate is also called a bishopric. To be a bishop means to oversee. Apostles oversees churches. As we understand, our apostle has approximately 80 ministries, pastors under his care. And so basically he's the overseer. He's the one who, when situations come up, they come to the apostle and he gives them answers to the questions they have. Number 19, the apostle invades. Apostles invade new territories. This is a militaristic mantle. They have the ability to penetrate hostile environments with the message of the kingdom. The word apostle did not come from originally in the Bible. It came from the Romans who was in charge at the time. And what would happen, they would send out apostles to the territories that they had taken over. And when they take over the territories, they went out and sent these apostles out to indoctrinate the people about that particular kingdom. So then when Jesus came along and they took the word apostle, because that's exactly what they was doing, so they did the same thing and incorporated into the New Testament. So what they do is apostles indoctrinate citizens that they had taken over and tell them about their rules and the relationships that they had. And number 20, another duty is to war. Apostles are territorial warriors. They are spiritual commanders of the highest rank. Warfare is translated from the Greek word strategia, meaning apostolic career. And so you can see a scripture reference to that is 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. And with that said and done, turn your Bibles again with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll just give you that scripture again, and then we'll go into our lesson for tonight. First Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll start reading at verse 27. We know what Ephesians 2:19-20 say, tell us that we are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God and built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 27, the word of God says here, say, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. So here's an order God set up in his government. The apostle Paul began to minister to the Corinthian church. And he said, this is not done by man. This is done by God. And he's the one who established the government. And God had the flow of his power. And the way he put that flow in, he put it as apostles first. And then he said secondarily prophets, thoroughly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings. As we begin to go through our lesson tonight, we've covered these fivefold ministry graces. We're going to look at each one of them individually. We're still on the apostle. We're going to look at the prophet. We're going to look at the teacher. We're going to look at the pastor and evangelist. So right now we're still focusing on the apostle. We're looking at this order, and it basically has been overlooked in the church, in the body of Christ. It's been overlooked basically because we have not been taught it, first of all. The church body has not been taught about apostles, so we don't know that much about the apostle. We did not understand it or see it clearly. Simply like what's happening right now, we just rejected the message. You can talk to an individual about apostleship, and they say, yeah, we know. And that's the end of that. It's like running into a blank wall. And God is the one who established this government on the church, in the church. And that's how God's power flow. It flows through the apostle. And it's like when they pulled that oil on Aaron's head, it flowed from the head down through his shoulders, down through his garment, and down all the way to the end of his robe. So the same thing is happening now. And God said, my power is flowing through the apostles. The apostles and the prophets are looking to heaven, finding out what it is that heaven wants here on earth. And they are bringing that to the earth. And so even Jesus, when he began to teach his apostles, when he taught his disciples, and we know that prayer over in Matthew chapter 6, where he said, you pray this way. And his main thing was to make sure that his kingdom come here on earth. It's our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So if his will going to be done in earth as it is in heaven, he have to find someone that he can give his will to so they can carry out his will on earth. But he wanted the apostles to pray for that. And he want us who are individuals to do the same thing, that his kingdom come and that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so we say that because we know there is no sickness and disease in heaven. There's no lack and poverty in heaven. So if his will going to be here done on earth as it is in heaven, then we who are in the body of Christ should be doing the same thing. We should have not. Jesus have taken care of everything that we need here in the earth realm. It has been done. It's a finished work. And the only thing we have to do is believe it and receive it by faith. Amen. The apostle Paul here says he refers to himself as the master builder. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 3, he was considered the master builder. And so again, that's again what Apostle Paul did when he was called by Jesus, and he told him the work that he was going to do and the things that he was going to suffer for him. Rather than going to men and finding out what it is he had to do, he went out in that Arabian desert. He went out there for 14 years. And he said, when he came back in, he said, this has not been taught to me by men, but this was revealed to me by God and by Jesus Christ. So this is what God told him. He kept looking to heaven. What it is you want? What it is you want me to do? What you want? What you want? And so when he continued to do that, then the revelation came to him and he came back and began to minister to the various churches in the region, the Corinthian church, the Ephesians church, the church at Colossae, the Philippians, the Galatians, he began to minister to them about the kingdom of God. And this is what is supposed to happen to you as a believer. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, looking at verse 10. And here it is again. I'll read verse 9 just to put some context to the scripture that we're reading. It says, "For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandmen. We are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ," which is Jesus Christ. And again, when we go back and you look at that scripture, what we're doing and the apostles ministering to us and telling us, as the Spirit of God began to reveal to us this kingdom, and he's showing it to us in various spots, and we begin to connect scriptures and see whether it's not all in one place. We can read through a whole chapter and still not see what God is saying, or the Spirit has not revealed everything that he's saying to us. But if we take this scripture and we connect it to Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, and what we see, it says it's built up on that foundation. What foundation? The foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He comes back again. And he tells us again here in verse 11. He said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So he's the chief cornerstone. Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. Then he left it in the hands of the apostles to come in and build the kingdom according to the way heaven's designed on that kingdom. That's the same kingdom that the prophet Isaiah prophesied back in Isaiah chapter 9. Let's look, turn over there and look. And we're talking about government. We're talking about apostolic government and what should be going on in this apostolic government. The results of it, the manifestations of it, the demonstrations of this government. So over in Isaiah chapter 9, looking at verse 6, and this, like I said, this is the foundation. He prophesied about it, the prophet prophesied about it, and he was telling us that something is going to happen in the future. That's what prophets does, tell us what's going to happen in the future. So he was telling us, he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be up on his shoulder," that's that foundation, up on his shoulder. He said that, "and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Number 7 says, verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever." So we're still in the forever stages of the government that God said was going to happen. And when Jesus came, he set up this government so the government should be in place that he established. And that's that foundation. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, apostles and the prophets being continue to build up on that which Jesus laid the foundation for. It says, "And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So it's not up to man to perform this government, place to put it in place. God himself said he himself is going to put this government in place, and then he going to perform that government. So what he does, he called out men that's going to be obedient to what he tell them to do. And then when he called them out, then they're going to follow his step. They're going to continue to seek heaven. They're going to find out what it is that heaven wants and bring that to help to earth. Turn to Ephesians with me, and then I'm going to give you some more pointers in our lesson. And we're going to look at verse 5. And like I said, God has his own timing when he began to reestablish things in the kingdom that he want to happen in the earth. It is not by man's timing. It is by God's timing. So and what we do, we see scripture, we read scripture, and then he began to make it relevant for the time that we're in. And so we don't understand it. What do? We ask God or ask the Holy Spirit to give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of what that scripture is saying to me now. And so we're taking the scriptures and what he said. Look at verse 5. It says, he says right here in verse 4, this is Paul. I read from verse 1 and then I read right on through verse 5. It says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He was ministering to the apostle Paul was sent out to the Gentiles so he could bring them into the kingdom. They had they had the Jews, which the rest of the apostles ministered to. But Paul in particular, apostle Paul was sent particular to the Gentiles. You see, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, what? This dispensation of grace. God has revealed to us now this grace, where Ephesians 2:8 tells us that we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. So the Apostle Paul was ministering on this grace. This grace tells us that the work has already been finished. Everything has been done through Jesus Christ. And our job is to receive it by faith, the things that he have done. And again, it's not natural that we are that the Spirit of God should be revealing this to us. But it is a spiritual kingdom that he has revealed to us. So we should be seeing this in the spiritual realm. Everything that God is going to do, he's already done it. So we need to get that in our head and our thinking. That's what we are being taught now. And the Spirit of God is revealing that to us. And it says by grace. If you begin to read the scriptures, you'll see everything is by grace through faith. By grace through faith. That means what Jesus did, he is a free gift. He's given it to us. And so we are to receive it by faith. Here it says, verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. So he said, the Spirit of God revealed this to me. He didn't say a man was taught to him. He said it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. He said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. So what he's saying? He's saying that in other ages, this revelation about the government of God, the understanding of the things of God, was not revealed to them. They got certain portions of it, but it's now being revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. And so what are they doing? The apostles are bringing that revelation to the body of Christ so we can begin to operate in that which God has revealed to them. And so we can begin to operate like Jesus did. That's why he can make that statement when he said, he that believeth on me, John 13, he said, he that believeth on me, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, because I go to my Father. So it was revealed to him. We're just not going to do it in the natural. We have to understand that it's the realm of the Spirit that we're going to begin to do these things that God has provided. So in verse 5, it says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. So he didn't say it was revealed to the pastor. He didn't say it was revealed to the evangelist. He didn't say it was revealed to the teacher. He said it has been revealed to his holy apostles by the Spirit. And so why is it has been revealed to them? Because the apostles and the prophets are the one who are looking to heaven, finding out what it is that heaven wants here on the earth and bringing that to find out what heaven wants and bringing that to the earth. Amen. So let's go on. Look, give you some more pointers. It is through God himself. It is though God himself has given blueprints to certain individuals to reproduce heaven on earth. So that's that. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. Here it is again in Ephesians 2 and 3 and 5. He's saying the same thing. He gave it to certain people. He's not giving it to everybody, but he's put these gifts in place so that he can reveal these things to him. So what they can bring reveal whatever God has revealed to them and bring it to the body of Christ. As we can go back to Ephesians 4:11 again. And when he started off again, he said he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, he gave some pastors and teachers. And then he told us why he gave them to them. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And he said, for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ. And then he gets right down at that last part. He said, until we all come into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. That's that foundation. And when he built that foundation, we all going to come to that stature if we're listening and we're being trained in the things of the kingdom of God. We have to be trained. We're not just going to come in here and think we're going to be able to hear a few scriptures and read a few scriptures and then go out and do what God tells us to do. And so you're at a perfect place now. What you're doing, you're sitting here, you're listening, you're being trained. And then as the scriptures come to you, what you're going to take these scriptures, we point them out. We are instructors, teachers. We point the scripture out, but we can only point them out to you. But it's up to the Holy Spirit to reveal those scriptures, what the word of God is saying to you. So when the Apostle Paul began to minister to the Ephesian church, he was told them, he said, now, you're not just going to get this on, but I want you to pray. Ephesians 1:17, where he said that the Spirit of God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know, see what is happening here in the kingdom. You need to know. We need to know what is happening. What you need right now, what is happening, God has reestablished his government in the church so we can begin to see those signs, those supernatural wonders, and those things that we see in the book, all throughout the book of Acts, we see those signs and those wonders manifesting themselves. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Like I said, I'll show it to you. You can see it. And it's not like we are just pulling something out of the sky. As the Spirit of God revealed to us, when I say us, to our apostle, and he came along and he imparted to us, who are the body of Christ, who are the members in particular, and then we begin to see it, and then we can also begin to operate in it. So here in Acts chapter 2, and we go into that Acts 2:42. And as I always say, I read up and read one down. So I begin to read at verse 41. It say, then they, Acts 2:41, it say, then they that gladly receive his word was baptized. And the same day there was added to them about 3,000 souls. It goes on to say, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostle. Many wonders and signs. So what's happening? The word of God is telling us and revealing to us that if signs and wonders are not being manifest in the place that you are, then are we properly operating God's government the way he set it up? He set it up again on the apostles and the prophets. Turn to Acts chapter 5, looking at verse 11. Acts chapter 5, looking at verse 11. It say, and great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. You're hearing these things. And so so once you hear something, you become responsible for that which you're hearing. And again, if you don't understand what you're saying, just reading from the word of God, word of God in 2 Timothy 3:16 say all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. So as you hear these scriptures, we can begin to ask the Spirit of God to reveal to us What is this scripture saying to me? I need to know what it's saying to me. Again, verse 11 says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And it said they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And so it said many signs and wonders was wrought by the apostles. So that's that foundation. Jesus left it in the hands of the apostles. And so they began to build on that foundation. But somewhere along the line, the apostles got eliminated out of the government of God. So and the men began to do their own thing. And when they began to do their own things, then the signs were eliminated from the church. Like I said, through God's mercy, we begin to see some miracles, but basically as everyday events, we begin to not see those signs and wonders that God expects for the kingdom to be operating in. Along with this blueprint that we're talking about, the Apostle Paul began to establish, the anointing of the apostles contained a quality that stimulates and draws to the surface the diverse anointing in the people around him. So as he began to operate in his apostleship, we saw that scripture over in Acts chapter 6, where those ladies and the widowers was being neglected in their daily ministration, and where they went out and they found these seven men who was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, Philip and Stephen, that whole group over there. And I turn over there right quick. Chapter 6. And this is what's supposed to happen to us who are in the body of Christ. As we are sitting under this apostolic government, even though we are not apostles, the anointing, the grace that God has put in these apostles is supposed to be imparted to us. And then as it is being imparted to us, then we'll begin to operate the same way the apostles did. And so that's why God said, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ. And so when someone see a sign, a wonder, a miracle, other people will be drawn to the kingdom because something has happened and they want to come and see what's happening. And so when they see what's happening, they see those signs, they see wonders happening in your life, then they want to become a part of that which God is doing in the earth realm. Every time a sign or wonder has happened to an individual, the kingdom of God has come up on that individual. So here in Acts chapter 6, it's in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied. So what happened? The church began to grow. It could, you know, one day there was one time there was 3,000 at it. The next time it was 5,000 at it. And so, but then again, they had to be trained. They had to be taught. And if they're not taught, somebody had to bring in other individuals to teach the body of Christ. And so as we grow, as the Word of Life Christian Center grow, as LTMA grow, there have to be other individuals who are being trained so they can train the body as they come in. One person cannot do the training, cannot do the work by himself. That's why it's important that we become disciples. And disciples mean we are learned ones. We are being taught how to operate in the kingdom. So when others come in, or wherever you go, your place is, you can go out and teach others how to do the exact same thing. The foundation is being laid. It said, and what happened? There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows was neglected in their daily ministration. Then the 12, that's the apostles, the 12 apostles called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They're saying what we should do, we should constantly spend our time in the word of God and in prayer, seeking God, finding out what it is that God wants here on earth. We can look around. We got a perfect example. What if our apostle who are here had to come to every class and teach every class? He had to find someone that he imparted his abilities into, his graces into, that he can send them out and do the same thing. He had to, what if he had to come out and lead prayer? We have prayer on Monday nights. What if he had to go out and lead prayer by himself? That impartation, that grace that's in him, he imparted into those individuals, prayer leaders. He had to come out and park cars on a Sunday. How could he possibly spend time in prayer and in the word, seeking God, finding out what God wants here on earth, and then come here on Sunday morning and try to minister to us what God has said? It would eventually, he would be worn out. But we find out that's what a lot of pastors are trying to do in the churches, and then they are struggling. That's why they have these struggling ministries on every corner you pass by. I was right down in Baton Rouge the other day, and I was driving through the city, and they had a church on this corner, a church on this corner, a church on that corner, church on that corner. Every corner there's a church, but isn't it? Okay, we're going from here. It says, along with the blueprint, watch what it says. The anointing of the apostles contains a quality that stimulates and draws to the surface the diverse anointings in the people around him. As those around the apostle begin to manifest their own unique anointing, it creates an environment of subcontractors who help the master builder to realize the blueprints of heaven. So as he sent individuals out, those who are called to be helpers with him, there's a quality in them that the apostles saw. And so what he does, he calls them in, he sends them out. He say, I want you to lead prayer tonight. I want you to become a intercessory prayer. And as you're going through his daily ministration, he looks out over the audience and he began to see individuals. For instance, he's calling 70 men in the church. He look out amongst the congregation and he said, I want you to be one of the 70. And it's not him that's doing it. It's the Spirit of God that's in him that's calling them into the ministry. That was diverse anointings. And so when God called you to do something, he God the one who called you. And so since he's the one who's called you, it's up to you to be trained in what God has called you to do. If he said like these fellows right here in Acts chapter 6, it says, let's read what it says here. He said in verse 4, he said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to minister of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And when they set before the apostles, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So when they laid their hands on, there was an impartation that taking place. The 70 that the apostle here at Word of Life Christian Center is calling out wherever he go. If he calls you to be an intercessor prayer, he'll call you up and he'll lay hands on. That's a Bible principle. And when he lays hands on it, by faith, there's an impartation that takes place in your life. If you receive, you have to receive what the man of God, you have to know that he's coming from God and he's speaking for God. That's why when Matthew 10:41, it says, he that receive a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Or he that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. Let's go a little bit further. He that receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. That's a principle that God set up. He didn't have to go through every office to name those apostles or name that which he's saying, but he's put a principle here, and you can put whatever you are. In this case, we're talking about apostles. And so he that receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. What are apostles doing? They're doing signs and wonders and miracles and those things. So when you receive him as an apostle, then you receive that reward. You're not an apostle, but that which is on his life is imparted to you, and you can begin to operate the same way that he does here on there. The Spirit of God has given us an awesome scripture here. Let's turn to Romans right quick, and then we get back to our lesson. Romans chapter 5, we've been talking about grace, we've been talking about faith, we're talking about Like I say, what we have to do as we hear these things from God and the things that he's telling us, then we have to receive them by faith. If we don't receive them by faith, then we won't begin to operate in them. Remember what Hebrews 11:6 says. We all can probably quote it, but has it been revealed to us? It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We who come into God must believe that he is and that he rewards them that diligently seek him. So the kingdom is a faith kingdom. So if God tells us something, he say, I've given you the graces, I've given you, provided all these blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then we have to receive those things which he provided for us already, the things that he's already done for us. So here in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, and it says by 5 and 17, it says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. So what he was saying, he said, when Adam sinned, when he sinned in the garden, that was an offense against God. And so because that offense came up on all men, what he did, so everybody suffered because of what Adam did. But God had to find a way throughout history, throughout ages. He'd been trying to figure out a way he can bring us back into that position that we was in the Garden of Eden. God said, I had y'all in a position, but Adam sinned and he took you out of that position. But I wanted to put you back. Everything that I wanted for you, all your provisions, all your protection, all your soundness of mind, everything that I had for you, I wanted to bring it back to you. But I had to find a way to do it. And the only way he could do it was through Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus came in, he died on the cross. Everything that was in the Garden of Eden that God had for man, he brought it back to man. And then all we had to do is receive it again. Watch what he says here. He said, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. He said, much more, they which receive the abundance of grace. The abundance of grace is everything that God has provided for us already. Already finished work, already done for us. And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. By one Christ Jesus. So now we can go back and connect that scripture. And I can't remember where it is now, but I could find it for you. But it stays this way. It says, in him we live, we move, and we have our being in Christ Jesus. So if we, and by faith, it said, by faith we receive this. So you have to receive everything that God has for you, and you have to receive this gift of righteousness. Gift of 5:21, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, tells us that he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for me, that I may be made the righteousness of God in him. So I have been made the righteousness of God. So I receive that righteousness. And the only way I can receive that righteousness is by faith. That is already, he provided that righteousness for me. I receive it. So since I receive it, I walk in that righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not by what I did. I couldn't have did enough. Become the righteousness of God. But it's what Jesus had did for me. That's that foundation. That's what the apostles is coming to minister to tell you about, what the kingdom has provided for you already. Amen. I was showing you these various this impartation, these different individuals that God has used in that impartation that come off on them. Philip, I think I taught it in another class where he was down in. Let's look at it and go ahead and see it. In Acts chapter 8, that's where we're going. And looking at verse 5, that's I always call them the table waiters, these table waiters. And so they wouldn't call them the apostles. But guess what? When that impartation came off on them, they acted like apostles. But that's why I tell people, whatever God called you to be, whatever, no matter what it is, you do it as unto God. One of the scriptures tells us that promotion coming neither from the east nor from the west, but the promotion always comes from God. So everything we do in the kingdom, we do it as unto God. And so, you know, to some people that may, for instance, security. Security may look small to some people. You're out there parking cars and missing the service, but that's important to what the vision God has called this ministry to be. Every individual, for every joint supplies. So the same anointing that's on the apostles' life, because you're out parking vehicles, that same anointing is on your life. You have to be anointed to park vehicles, be security. Because if you're not anointed, then, you know, we still, you know, even though we're in the kingdom, there's still people who come in, they have their own idea how they want to do things. But in love, we have to tell them how to park the vehicle. Here in Acts chapter 8, looking at verse 5, it says, "Then Philip," that's one of the seven, "went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." He wasn't called to be an apostle, but guess what? He began to do signs. He began to teach Jesus to them. And apparently when they laid hands on him, the apostles did, that was an impartation that took place on them. And so he was able to go out and do the exact same thing that the apostles did. He said in verse 7, "Say, for unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that was possessed with them, and many was taken with palsy and was and that was lame was healed. And there was great joy in that city." So like I said, I just wanted to see that, show you that the same thing. That's why Jesus, again, I'll turn to John right quick and we'll turn right back. John chapter 13, and then I will give you some more principles and pointers. John chapter 14. This is Jesus speaking. It's in red in my Bible. It says in John 14 and 12, it says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," so we know we believe on him because we are in the kingdom. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We believe that Jesus is Lord. We believe God raised him from the dead. And since we do that, then that's, we are a believing people. That's how we came into the kingdom. So we believe on him. And so he say, "We that believeth on him, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do." He said, "Because I go unto my Father." So these words have been spoken out of Jesus' mouth, who is the foundation of the kingdom. He is the chief cornerstone of the kingdom. And so he said, "If I did the works and you believe on me, then you should be able to do the works also." He said, "You should do the works also." And 1 John 3 and 8 say, "Jesus was manifested in the earth realm so that he might destroy the works of the devil." He might destroy the works of the devil. And so we know that our sickness and disease is of the devil. Lack and poverty is of the devil. And so if you're going to destroy that, then we are in the kingdom, then we should be operating in what? That abundant life. John 10:10. You know, you can see that scripture. He said, "Satan come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And so if you're not operating in that abundant life, if it's not being manifested in your life, then you're not believing what the word of God says, and you're not receiving that gift of righteousness. He said, we receive it, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. We should be reigning in life. And so if we're not reigning in life, see, God created us from the beginning. Why? So we can dominate. He made us dominators. Like I said, Satan gave it up. Go over to Genesis 1, 26. See that area. He said, I created man in my image after my likeness. And he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air. He said, and every creeping thing upon the face of the earth. He said, I want you to have dominion over everything on the face of the earth. Adam gave it up. And then we get down to that part, and he say, and God blessed them, and he said, go and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. 126 through 28. You should read it sometime. Go in and look at it, how God created us from the original. And so if you want to know how God created you and what you were supposed to be, go back and I had an old pastor used to tell me, go back and look in the book of Genesis, and that's what God wanted us to be. And so in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, read that sometime and see what God wanted. He wanted us to, he said, go and multiply. He said, replenish. And when you say replenish, I was making mention of that one day. Somebody said, well, they're doing too much replenishing now. You know, they was talking about unwed fathers and things like that. I said, God wasn't talking about that kind of replenish. He was talking about creating individuals after his image, after his likeness, after his kindness, so we can go and then we can replenish and multiply in individuals like him. He wanted us to be able to what? Subdue, dominate the earth. And so Adam gave it up, but Jesus came back and gave it. I tell you what, let's make Romans 5:17 our meditation scripture for this particular class. And read it, meditate it, allow the Spirit of God to reveal some things to you. He that receives this abundance of grace and his gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. So we should be reigning in life, not just getting by, not just, you know, hopping along, carrying on. The key characteristic, I've given you some duties executed by the apostle. We're up to number 20 now, but I want to give you some key characteristics of an apostolic environment and culture. And apostolic environment focuses on heaven. Just remember, you hear that a lot, because that's what, when God came to establish his kingdom, that was his whole point, to bring heaven here on the earth, so that we who are in this body can operate like we're operating in heaven. Where focus on heaven, allowing prayer, as we see, as we became, the Spirit of God began to reveal more to us about this apostolic government, and he began to tell us that we have to pray more. We have to begin to set up prayer groups, and we begin to be accountable to every individual that's in our group. We begin to send out our texts to them. And some individuals are praying at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're letting people in their group know that they are praying. I'm praying for an hour. I'm reading Galatians 1 or Galatians 2. And then not only are we praying as the Spirit of God is telling us, then, you know, as we read these lessons, we are telling our group leaders what the lesson is saying to me. I mean, everybody's not going to get the same thing out of that lesson, but when we read it, we should be asking the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to be getting out of this lesson? I shouldn't be just sitting here reading this chapter. I shouldn't go through here so fast that I just want to, you know, fulfill my duty. That's just get back to that same old thing of going to church to fulfill a duty. When we are reading these chapters, or when we're reading our scripture, the reference that the apostle has given to us, we should be finding out what the Holy Spirit is saying specifically for this time to me, and what I should do, how it should affect my life, and what revelation, what are you revealing to me about this particular passage of scripture. So in an apostolic environment, focus on heaven, allowing prayer, worship, signs, miracles, and wonders to become normal in our daily lives. I'm gonna cut it off right there, and I'm gonna end it on this, but I need you to just see that. In an apostolic environment, focuses on heaven, allowing prayer, worship, miracles, signs, and wonders to become normal in our daily life. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Father God. We thank you, Father, that we are no longer just hearers of your word, but we'll now become doers of what you tell us to do. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.